Hi, it's Jackie, and I'm here with JJ. And today we are going to talk about something that we hear over and over, especially in the community, and people that we talk about. It's how do I get more energy? How do I stop crashing every single day? And, you know, we put together, JJ put together a great quiz, and, you know, you'll take the quiz as you listen to this, but this whole little short lecture is to really help you understand that this is five greatest tips to get you going, because many times it's the daily things that we do that zap your energy and make you feel so bad and make you feel like, oh, I just can't do it. So JJ, welcome.
Thank you. You know, what's amazing is so many of the things we do every day we don't realize are just energy zappers.
Right, exactly.
You know, there's no better way to put it, and which is so sad, because you could be doing things on a regular basis that you think are just fine, they're working for you, and in reality, they're really hurting you, and it can be just a simple switch, right?
Right. Well, exactly. And it's the one habit that you can do. But I have to say, sometimes you get so bogged down, you have so little energy, that you say, well, I know what to do. I just can't even take the first step. And I'm wondering, is it that we kind of don't know what to do? We think this will work, but it's really the opposite.
Well, here's what I tell you. It's the first thing, if you're even wondering, now most of us go, okay, there's 2 points to it, Jackie. Number one, I worry that for most people, they're kind of self-medicating with coffee and carbs, and they're not even realizing that energy is a problem. So that's the number one. And so they really have no idea what feeling really good and having steady energy, not that crazy chaotic, okay, I just had like a latte and a muffin, so wee, you know.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, and
3 hours later, it's like crash. So
right.
It's really, you know, it's really identifying, do you have that energy, and do you really even know what that feels like? Because I find for most people, they don't, because they're so used to using these things to create the energy for them. So the first thing I'd say, if you haven't done it yet, is take the quiz to see how your energy really is, and if you've got some issues that are either energy zappers or that are just kind of covering up the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's step one. And again, if you're sitting here going, I already know I got problems, then you could skip the quiz. It might just make it more painful. But I like to do it because it kind of shows you, wow, this was worse than I thought. But wherever you are, I want to tell you, wherever you are, your energy can be better. It can be better. And especially if, as we go through five things that can really impact your energy, there's some room for improvement there. And the other bottom line is, Jackie, there's always room for improvement. I am not sitting here, and I know neither are you, Missy.
Exactly. Right. I mean, I'm looking at the quiz, looking at, you know, do you need caffeine to get and keep going? I'm thinking, oh, is this only my third cup of green tea?
Yeah, like, oops. Well, and by the way, I would even change that line, make a note. Do you need caffeine and or carbs to get and
right.
keep going?
Right.
Right. Right. So, you know, whether that's in the morning or like that afternoon, like where's the espresso?
Mm-hmm.
And hey, to be totally authentic, when we were taping the last series of Freaky Eaters, I felt like we should be given stock in Starbucks, because my co-star and I were just, every break, it was like, is there a Starbucks nearby? I mean, it was ridiculous. It was just really got to be stupid. You know, when you sit there and use your Starbucks card and they keep going, oh, it's out of money. You're going, but I just put $100 on it. You know, like, how do you know you have a problem at Starbucks? It's how many free Starbucks cards are they sending you? You know?
Oh, it's so funny.
Oh, boy. So let's go through. So take the quiz if you haven't taken it, even if you already know you've got a problem. Let's really see, you know, how big is it? But I'm going to take these things one by one. And again, I'm looking at things that can help support steady, great, sustained energy, because that's what we want. That's the ultimate. And the first one, and this is the one that I learned to ask. I kind of learned this one the hard way when people would come in to see me back when I was seeing people one-on-one, and they go, because energy was one of the biggest complaints I got then, and now it's still one of the biggest things I hear from people.
Oh, it's the biggest thing in our community. Well, there are a couple things, but this is one of the biggest is if I just had more energy, I know that I could do what I need to do.
Yeah, it's a huge one. So what I would say with that is I used to sit there and go, okay, well, you can take this for energy and that for energy. And I'm going to tell you there are some definite things that are going to help with energy in terms of supplements. And I'm going to tell you because there's a lot of BS ones, but there's three in particular that make a big difference. And I'll share that with you. But if you're not sleeping well, that doesn't matter. Okay, so the first thing I want to know if your energy is not good is how are you sleeping? Because you must get 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night in order for your body to repair, rebuild, you know, get stable blood sugar, everything that you need to have a good day. So sleep comes first. And I know we also put together a sleep package of great supplements that will help there. And Jackie, I do want to have an interview that we go through. I've got a great sleep quiz, and I also want to do a sleep interview. So mark that on our ever-increasing list to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the number one thing everybody wants to know is how do I know so many people that take the sleep aids, even not non-prescription, just from the drugstore. I mean, that's been a big, big, big thing.
Okay, so we'll address that. And I think that also comes down to, hey, if you've got an issue that you really want us to address, tell us, and we'll put it on this list. So sleeping well is critical, and what I tell people is, you know, I've got a really nice sleep package that works within your own biochemistry. It's not, sleep's probably not a deficiency of, you know, some of these different I'm trying to think of sleep like Ambien. It's probably not an Ambien deficiency, right? So when you look at sleep, things that really support good sleep are GABA, because it's the number one neurotransmitter, inhibitory neurotransmitter in the brain that helps calm you down. Theanine can raise GABA. That's where, you know, decaffeinated green tea can help. But I like to go straight to the GABA and just hit it. And it's interesting because alcohol will raise GABA, but too much alcohol then raises adrenaline and causes, you know, hypoglycemia, and you wake up at 2 in the morning going, oh, what did I do? So that's a big one. Melatonin, of course. Sometimes I would go straight, I do 5-HTP, but really it's 5-HTP then through the pineal gland triggers with darkness helping to get melatonin up, and it's the melatonin that's really helping you sleep. I think melatonin should be in everyone's little, you know, drugstore, their little toolkit, because if you're traveling, it's what you can use to phase forward. So if you're somewhere and you know that you need to go to sleep, and this happens to me because I'm traveling back and forth in time zones, which I hate all the time. And so I get somewhere and I know I have to get up early to do a TV show, and now it's like, you know, it's 11 that time. I have to be up at 6, and it's really only 9. And I'm going, what do I do?
Right.
So that's where melatonin can help us phase forward. And, you know, the pathway is that we can take something like 5-HTP, which helps raise serotonin in the brain, and when it's totally dark, serotonin will convert to melatonin and help you sleep. And it's also very anti-aging, but we can just go straight to melatonin. And I find that for the tough cases, that's really where I like to go, is just hit it with some, you know, hit it with the good stuff. And so that's what I'll use there. And then, of course, there's also some really good supportive herbs that can help you as well. And I really like combination products there for supportive herbs to help you sleep. I find that works really well, kind of a little herbal cocktail. And so some of the sleep aids that can help there, valerian, hops, passion flower, rhodiola, and chamomile are some of the big ones that are supposed to slow down an overactive mind and promote this nice calm, relaxed state. Now, along with that, and that's all in this sleep package bundle that we put together, but along with that, what I have people do is, and I find this to be the most important, so often I find the reason people don't get good sleep is they just don't plan for sleep. So they, you know, they're doing work, and it's, you know, this is so hard. You're doing work right up until like 9 or 10 o'clock at night, and then you go, okay, I'm going to go sleep now. It's like, no, you're not. You need to have that transition time. So you got to shut the door to the office, lock up the iPhone, and go and do silly putter around the house stuff. So I tell people, set your alarm clock an hour before you need to go to sleep, and all the brain stimulating stuff's got to go away. And for me, it's reading really dumb chick lit or detective novels or stuff like that.
You're
That's
reading,
what I have to
if,
do.
If I read, it will put me out. I mean, literally, I think I'm going to be so excited and get through this book. Within 3 pages, I've fallen asleep with the book on top of me.
I mean, that's perfect. And it's nice to set a pattern, too. This is so critical, is that you set this really good pattern of, you know, so what I do is I putter around the house, pick up things, kind of get do the mindless stuff, and then I have my hygiene, and then I get a glass of red wine and a book, and I get in bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get in bed, and I read more of the book, and I crash.
What do you know about TV? Because so many people always write that they that's why they have trouble with mindless snacking, because they're eating in front of the TV before they go to sleep. I mean, could there be any worse habit
to develop?
Well, I don't
see the problem. Yeah, exactly. But the problem is, too, that's why I say go get in the bathtub, because if you're in the bathtub, you're not in the kitchen. Like,
right.
I mean, there could be this weird how most people aren't going to snack in the bathtub.
Right.
But anything, laptops, iPhones, TV, is very neurostimulating. So I am not a fan of watching TV and going to bed at all. I really think that what you need to do is get in the bed and read a book. And I'm really careful about which books I choose, because even the more inspirational books, those turn my brain on, and I'm sitting there going, ooh, you know, so I can't do it.
Right.
So,
oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm really careful about that. So that's number one, is really set up good sleep hygiene. Obviously, we could do a whole call on that, and we will, but that just gives you a couple keys of make time for sleep. Make sure you're eating. The next one will help with this, but make sure you're making time for sleep. Use that alarm clock. And if you're struggling, grab that sleep bundle that we put together, because I have used this with people with mucho success. Now, the second one, and this also, by the way, is going to help with sleeping well, is eating well. Because, you know, especially first thing in the morning, and we've talked about this, that most people are eating dessert for breakfast. And the worst thing you can do is get up in the morning and have a big old, like, mocha latte and a muffin, things that are going to drive up adrenaline, drive up blood sugar, and give you this very false, chaotic energy that's going to be real high and then take you real low. So I always say that breakfast of any of them sets the metabolic tone for the day. That is why, you know, I'm like this complete advocate for starting the day with a high-quality smoothie with a good vegan rice protein, fiber, coconut milk, berries, because they're a nice slow-release sugar. Slow-release sugars like berries and apples and sweet potatoes and lentils, they are so great for just giving your keeping that blood sugar go into your brain, but not sending a big surge and a crash. And, you know, our body ideally, our brain ideally fuels on glucose. That's what it's best using. So a nice shake where you've got protein and carbs, so you kind of have a push between the insulin and glucagon hormone responses. You've got the fiber in there. You've got the healthy fats. It's very satiating, but also very hormone balancing, and is going to give you good, steady, sustained energy. And when you eat well like that with clean, lean protein and healthy fats and slow-release high-fiber carbohydrates and loads of non-starchy vegetables. I mean, I just love the throwing the kale and the spinach, and yes, you really don't taste them, I now know, into the shake.
I'm glad you finally said that, know, because everybody else confirmed.
Geez.
I don't know how that was possible, but you really can just stuff the vegetables in there and you do not taste anything.
It's incredible. So, I mean, when you do that kind of stuff, when you do that, you really create a nice, steady, sustained energy where you should be able to go 4 to 6 hours without having to eat again. If you're having to eat every 2 to 3 hours, you did not hit a hormonal winter, and you're probably fueling on carbs that are shooting up your blood sugar, making you feel very energetic, and then crashing you so you need it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
the... No, I'm just glad that you just emphasized that, because there is so much conflicting advice out there.
Snacking makes me so angry. Snacking makes you fat. It's driving up sugar, which is making you raise insulin, which is turning off your fat burning and making you store fat. So, you know, if you need to have a snack, if you have to eat every 4 hours and then have one snack, I think 3 meals and a snack is just fine. Stop eating 2 to 3 hours before bed. By the way, you've got to eat well during the day, because if you go to bed hungry, you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and have to go eat. So don't think you can go to bed hungry. That's a bad idea. But the research is really clear. People who eat a better breakfast eat less throughout the day and lose more weight and keep it off. So you need to eat well, but you do not want to go pig out right before bedtime, because if you eat too much at bed, you actually go to bed with a full stomach, which suppresses the release of ghrelin, which suppresses the release of growth hormone. And remember, when we're sleeping, we're supposed to be healing and rebuilding. So that's a biggie. Now, the next one is I'm going to be so trite here, Jackie. Oh, my gosh. But don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. I know. It's the book.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just damn true. It's just,
I have to interject for just a second. One of my favorite scenes was in American Beauty, where they're trying to reconnect, and Kevin Spacey's telling Annette Bening some of the old stories, and they're trying to rekindle, and suddenly his beer almost spills on the sofa, and she says, he says, who cares? It's just a sofa. And she says, this is a $4,000 Italian handmade sofa. And he says, It's just stuff. And it's a great scene.
Did she get it? A woman who did not have children. It is interesting because you look at the stuff. As you build bigger and bigger businesses and go out there to have a bigger impact in the world, the thing that will define whether you can really do that or not is your ability to handle the stuff, life. I mean, how successful you really are going to be in life is like how well you can handle the stuff. And you start to realize like this really, it's like no one's dying here, it's like,
right. And
don't
few of us have
it.
A perspective shift. So if you don't have that kind of life-changing event or perspective shift, it's even more important to focus on this. And I get tripped up. Everybody gets tripped up on this, and I'm just grateful for the reminder.
Exactly. I mean, so I find so much with stress that it's your perspective, and the reason I bring up stress is because if you want to have crappy energy, be stressed out, because what happens when you're under chronic stress, initially, of course, it's funny, initially when you get stressed out, it's actually very energizing because your body goes, ooh, we got to do something here. And so your cortisol kicks up and your adrenaline kicks up and you feel like, I've had a lot of espresso, I can do anything. But your cortisol can't keep up with the demand, so it starts to crash, and your adrenaline will keep up to replace that, which makes you feel tired and wired, which is the most rotten of all rotten feelings. Have you ever had that one? Because
I certainly have.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I have too. Exactly.
Yeah. And then after that lovely experience, you get down to just flat out tired. But along the way, the hormonal things that happen there, I mean, besides just this crazy weird false energy to this chaotic energy to no energy at all, is that you really tweak your blood sugar, which then makes you better at storing fat, and you lower serotonin. And so one of the things you start to see is poor sleep that just then makes even worse energy. So and stomach acid goes down, and then you can't build the neurotransmitters you need. It's such a double-edged sword. So you really have to look at how do I change my self-talk on some of this stuff that I'm letting stress me out, which really, like, who cares? Doesn't matter. So next one are slow, low carbs. And, I'm trying to figure out which food group is most confusing to people. Is it fat or is it carbs? And I think it just depends on which fad diet we're into at the time. But carbohydrates, we can't live without protein or fat or water. It's interesting, we can live without carbohydrates, but I don't think that means we should. And I think that carbs really are going to help you have this nice, steady, sustained energy and be able to think straight. But the quality really matters. And when you think of carbohydrates, I want you to think of slow, low carbs. That means carbs that are low on the glycemic index and have a lot of fiber or in their most whole state possible. So that would be something like a lentil or a sweet potato or any kind of legumes. And
quinoa.
Apples. But I even look at quinoa. I am a fan of quinoa, but it's still not, it had to get somewhere to be quinoa. It didn't just pick it and have quinoa.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that, because quinoa is really the trendy thing of the moment.
I just did a radio show with the bikini chef, and she said, I'm writing a book. I go, what's it on? She goes, quinoa. I go, you're writing a whole book on quinoa? Really?
Yeah,
wow.
It's so trendy right now. Like, it really is. It's the in in pseudo seed, you know?
Well, you know, I'm still not this huge lover of grains. I tend to be more of a primal paleo gal, but of the grains, quinoa would be my most favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, you know, and it would fit in the slow, low carbs. But what wouldn't fit in there, obviously, the more refined, the faster they go, and the higher in fruit sugar, like the tropical fruits, the worse they are. So combining, keeping a little slow, low carbs in each of your meal, that means loads of non-starchy vegetables, little bit, I'm talking a half a cup of lentils or brown rice or sweet potato, is just going to keep that nice, steady supply of blood sugar to your brain. You're going to feel, you know, like you can always think straight. So that's another big one.
And just FYI, this is the quickest, easiest recipe for sweet potatoes, because this is what my husband does, is he turns the oven on to 350 or maybe even 400. He puts the sweet potatoes in. He waits for an hour. He takes them out. So then he has sweet potatoes just there to eat anytime, and they're so good. My children devour them.
Oh, that's great that your children devour them.
Oh, I know. And well, sometimes I have to put cinnamon on it. So, you know, but
well, even better
just,
if you put cinnamon on them. Cinnamon balances blood sugar.
And they're right there. That's the thing, is that when suddenly you're starving, you're like, I could just eat a large pizza. If you have something that tastes good that's right there, the likelihood of you grabbing it is obviously really high. So we're always trying to find those snacks that you're talking about that can just be ready to eat and right there when you need it.
Yeah, so that's a great one. Again, when I'm looking at a snack, I want to make sure we have a carb protein, not just a carb.
Yes.
So
yes.
Just going to point that out. Hey, and then the final one, and this is one people probably really don't think about, is being well hydrated. And I know with you, I think we had this just huge aha when we first were doing a call that you realized
yes.
You weren't drinking any water.
Funny thing is that it was such an easy thing that I was completely overlooking. I was sitting there going, why am I getting so tired?
So
literally, can you imagine being like, wait a minute, oh yeah, I forgot water. And I live in Boulder, and so obviously with the altitude, water is so important. So, I mean, it was just definitely my aha thing going on.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. Just even mild dehydration, we're talking 1-2%, can raise stress hormones. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, isn't that amazing?
1-2%.
What, just the teensies. Yeah, I mean, it's like wowie. So that's really a big deal. And then the other part of that, of course, is addressing caffeine and alcohol. Now, I am not a purist here. I actually don't believe when people say, no alcohol, no caffeine. I think they're wrong. So maybe that's why I tend to be a more popular nutritionist.
People live for you.
Like, yay. So, no, but if you look at it, a little caffeine is an ergogenic aid. It can help you burn more fat. But it really is, the dose can be, you know, can be your poison. So a little caffeine, fine. A lot of caffeine, not bueno. So one of the reasons, of course, is that it will burn out your adrenals. But the other thing is because it's very acidic. And if you're drinking a lot of caffeine and you're drinking a lot of alcohol, please don't drink soda. That goes without saying. You're going to need to have more water. So that's the first thing. It's a little caffeine, great, but it does keep adrenaline around longer, and it, you know, can exhaust your adrenals. And it really comes down to, Jackie, how well are you able to detoxify caffeine or metabolize it. I happen to be a slow caffeine metabolizer. So if, and I will save this if I ever have to speak at night, because night is not my good speaking time, but occasionally I'll have to go somewhere and speak, and I'm like, oh no, and I'll have an Americano, but then I know that after I speak, that's just a late night for me. I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then
what do you think of that? What do you think of that yerba mate? It's very trendy.
Well, you know, here's yerba mate, guarana,
or yerba mate,
coconut,
pardon me.
They all have caffeine in them. Someone just sent me I had to comment for some media outlet on a new fat burner. And it was like, this is just like a gazillion different types of caffeine. So, you know, caffeine, what is a rose by any other name, you know? Caffeine is caffeine. Sugar is sugar. The only difference with sugar, of course, is fructose is a whole different ballgame of sugar. The reason I tend to like things like green tea is because you've got caffeine getting balanced by theanine, which is a very nice nutrient, amino acid for the adrenals that helps raise GABA in the brain. But you know, you just watch your overall caffeine, because let's say you're taking yerba mate or herba mate, whatever the heck it is, and then you're having a dark chocolate, and then you're having some green tea, and then you end up, it all adds up,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, so then the other part of that's alcohol, and again, alcohol is going to be dehydrating too. And so, you know, you just have to watch these things because they are dehydrating. They will impact your, you know, alcohol will impact your sleep, and caffeine will give you a false sense of energy. So a cup of coffee or two in the morning, a green tea or two, fine. You know, pots, not fine. A glass of wine at night, or I adore tequila. I've got this new tequila drink that I'm like hooked on. But a little tequila or red wine at night, fine. A bottle, not fine. And you and I talk about this. It's like I have to totally monitor that because, you know, I grew up by the wine country. So.
Right. And also with an appreciation of it. I have to ask you, do you pick tequila because there's no weed in it?
I started looking at tequila originally because I looked at all the different types of alcohols, and I went, what really, if I wasn't going to have red wine and I'm in Las Vegas and I want to go dancing,
uh-huh.
what would it be? Okay,
right.
There it is. And it's really tequila. And you know, of all the alcohols, you can kind of create a problem with any other one. But the thing with tequila is a little tequila, for some reason, never hurts me. I can have two shots of tequila and not feel crappy in the morning. But I've created this tequila drink with fresh squeezed lime, fresh squeezed grapefruit, little bit of grapefruit, a lot of lime, some crushed up basil and crushed up cucumber. And it is so darn good.
Oh, wow.
With some tequila and a little sparkling mineral water. Oh, my gosh. So good.
And it's is that the lowest sugar content?
Well,
alcohol?
It's interesting because it is the low of all those alcohols. Yes, the problem with it is it's agave, really.
Right.
You know, so I mean, hey, you want to lose weight? It is interesting. The study showed that people who had a glass of wine every night tended to be leaner and thinner than those who didn't. Now, I don't know if the red wine was also showed just an overall better health choices because, you know, a lot of red wine drinkers drink red wine because of the resveratrol, but I think actually it's more because of it helping manage stress. It's stopping you from eating other things. You know, if I have a glass of red wine, I'm totally satisfied.
Me too.
So I think there's that part of it. I think there's the resveratrol helping with insulin sensitivity part of it too. But again, it's how much are you talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That's the other issue. So with hydration, I just want to make some recommendations because I think it's real easy to say, hey, have this much water a day, and then the day goes by and you go, shoot.
right.
So I find if you sit there and do when you get up in the morning, 16 ounces of water, and then 30 to 60 minutes before each meal, not sooner, do another 16 ounces. So 16 ounces first thing in the morning, 16 ounces 30 to 60 minutes before lunch and dinner, 8 ounces before bed, because we find that with evening hunger pains, it's a glass of water shuts them down 100%. That study they did, 100% of evening hunger pangs gone. And then, you know, drink some more throughout the day and measure it. Put it into a safe water bottle so you really know how much you're doing. I find that really works well for doing it. So those are all the things you need to be thinking about, but then along with that, you can get some help with some different nutrients, and it can really make an amazing difference when you have great nutrients helping you out, by the way. I mean, it's not just, you know, a little hype here. It can make a great difference to have some. And, of course, the obvious thing is that you really have to have good B vitamins. I mean, come on. So you need B vitamins to make energy. And the one that I really see, you know, of course we know that stress blows out your B vitamins. So that's one that we just already know is a big issue, is that you've got to have good B vitamins status to be able to have good energy. And that the first thing that's going to start to get, you're going to hit with when you start to go through stress, is you're going to start to lose those B vitamins. So you really want to think of solid B vitamins. Now, most of the B vitamins out there are actually made from yeast, so that's kind of an issue there as well.
And
so,
I need to just ask you a question, because I was talking to somebody who was talking about their stress, and they said, you know, I heard JJ talk about adrenals, and I heard her talk about stress, and I said, well, yeah, you know, it's interesting. She and I started talking about, you know, when you had mentioned B the B complex. And she said, yeah, but I mean, do I really need that? And it was so interesting that I had answered that. And she says, oh, do I really need that? I've sort of heard about the B, but is it really important? And I'd like to just have you comment just a little bit about what that is going to change so that you understand the why behind it.
Well, B vitamins, you need B vitamins to synthesize your energy-producing molecules, things like CoQ10 and carnitine, you know. You can't, it requires like every B vitamin to synthesize CoQ10, which we'll talk about CoQ10 next.
So do you mean like the analogy is just like that's the oxygen? I mean,
if you don't have the Bs, you can't make the energy, all right? I mean, it really, B12 helps produce healthy red blood cells. I mean, if you don't have good B12, you're going to lead to anemia, which is going to create its own level of fatigue. I mean, obviously, when we talk about energy, I'm assuming that you've got good iron status. That goes without saying. If you don't, you must fix that. But you could be low in B12, and you could become B12 anemic. So
interesting. I'm so glad you clarified that.
B12, by the way, helps convert fat and protein to energy. So, I mean, think of the bees as catalyzing all of these reactions that help you create energy, and they're the first thing that you tend to lose when you're under stress. You blow out your vitamin C and your bees. Now, this isn't a stress bundle, and we're going to talk about stress in another call, but just flat for energy, a good solid B complex, one that's very well absorbed with activated B vitamins that aren't from yeast, that can create its own allergenic response in the body. So, you know, good activated Bs, that's why, and I love the B complex number 12 when I'm looking at energy, because B12 tends to be one that we really get a hit with. It's critical here. So that's sort of a, like, honestly, Jackie, I think everybody needs, beyond just their basic multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula, I find most people need extra Bs. Now, if it's more energy, I go with a B with extra B12. If it's more stress, I go with a B with extra pantothene. And we'll talk about that. You know, tune in for the stress call if you're sitting here going, yeah, but it's all my stress. Well, then go to that call. So that's number one. And number two for CoQ10, I've always looked at CoQ10 as sort of the spark plugs in your body, because CoQ10 helps produce ATP, and ATP is our big energy source. So without that, you're just going to be lagging, and especially if you're doing any exercise or you want to have good heart health. I mean, we know that a lot of, you know, congestive heart failure is basically not enough CoQ10. So it's incredibly important. It can actually, CoQ10 can improve energy production in post-cardiac surgery patients. I mean, it's...
Wow.
Yeah, it's a huge nutrient. It also improves fatty acid oxidation. But the issue with CoQ10 is that there's one manufacturer that actually makes CoQ10. Everyone's gotten to like CoQ9, CoQ8. So there's really one CoQ10. And it crystallizes when you produce it. There's only one company that's figured out how to make CoQ10 without it crystallizing. And if it crystallizes, you don't absorb it well. And so that company, I'm trying to remember the name of this guy who did it, Bob Judy, he created and patented this technology, and Thorne Research bought the exclusives to it. So it's like once you understand that, you understand that you've got to get CoQ10 in this specific form in order to absorb it at a level, because CoQ10 is expensive, so why take it when it's crystallized? And you can actually take the capsule and squirt it out onto a paper towel, and you'll see it won't absorb well, and there'll be these little like crystally things. Well, that's a problem. So if yours is doing that, that's a problem. Or if you're falling for the big ubiquinone, and I always get confused here. It's like there's one form ubiquinone and one form ubiquinol. I'm going to try to look this up online where I put this, but the form that everyone's touting now is the way to take it, actually, turns out, is it's ubiquinol. And now there's a whole bunch of marketing stuff, and I think all it does is serve to confuse people, is that ubiquinol is the active form of CoQ10, and it's the one that we need. But what's interesting is that when we synthesize CoQ10, we make ubiquinone, and ubiquinone is the form needed for energy production in mitochondria of the cell. So I want you to not fall for ubiquinol, because it really isn't doing what the hype out there is saying. Mm-hmm. So you want ubiquinone, which is called QBES by Thorne, but you want this stuff by Bill Judy, or I think it is Bill Judy, not Bob Judy, who has created a way to do this that's crystalline free, because you actually absorb a load more of it, and it's substantial, which means you could be spending a lot of money for a product that you're really not absorbing. And then the final thing for energy that is so critical is to really look at something, and even though we're going to talk stress on another call, I'm really looking at something that's just a really good adrenal balancer, because, you know, that's where you're really going to see the hit on your energy. So something that really helps balance, kind of optimize the function of your adrenal glands and help your body adapt to stress better. So what I put together there is an adaptogenic herbal formula that has ashwagandha and astragalus and panax ginseng and eleuthero and ginger and licorice root. And this just really is going to take kind of the pressure off your adrenals, help balance if you're high or low. It helps balance them so that your adrenals, you know, your cortisol should come up in the morning. It has a real specific pattern throughout the day, and this helps balance it and optimize the function of the adrenal gland so that you'll have that nice, steady energy, and your body will be able to handle stress better, optimize that stress better. And then, of course, it also comes along with some nutrients that help support the adrenal glands, like vitamin C and zinc and a little more pantothene. And, you know, when I put together this energy bundle, I really wanted to look at, like, what happens when we don't have good energy, and what things are going to have the biggest effect, because I wanted someone to be able to take something and feel a difference quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what will happen here, is this is one you should notice probably the first day, if not definitely
oh, wow.
the first couple of days. Yeah. And it's not a lot of pills. You take one of each of these three with breakfast and lunch, and it's something that you should be noticing. I mean, again, may take a couple of days, but I've heard people say, wow, I mean, I noticed something the first day. Yes, how
wow.
cool is that? Yay.
Well, that's what keeps you going. Suddenly you say, oh, if it takes a week or 2 weeks, you start to, the little voices in your head say, oh, come on, is this really what I should
yeah,
be doing?
Yeah, that's the hardest part. I mean, we know we need to be on a good multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula. Everybody should be on that for health with essential fatty acids. That just should be how you roll, just like starting the day with that shake and fiber. And
mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you take a good multivitamin mineral formula, do you really notice a difference? Well, when you go through the whole year and you go, wow, I wasn't really sick that often this year, or not at all, and wow, you don't think about it. It's not remarkable. But when you see a shift in your energy, and I'll tell you, if you will just take the five keys that we put out here for you, get started on that energy bundle, use it at breakfast and lunch, and then right in after a week, and, you know, kind of rate your energy. We should have an energy rating scale, like, you know, of course, you don't know what great energy is at this point, but
oh, absolutely.
You know,
I mean, there are days I'm at a 2, and if I started taking this and see a 10, I'm like, wait.
Yeah, what happened?
Wait.
But I think people don't even know what a 10 is. But, you know, if you look at all of a sudden and go, you know what, I don't need an alarm clock to wake up in the morning anymore, and I'm not having that afternoon crash, and I can really focus all day long, and I'm not blowing off exercise because I really can't wait to get to the gym, and I feel better after I work out, which, you know, if you feel
mm-hmm.
worse after you work out, ooh. So it's really looking at that. But you owe it to yourself because, gosh, I mean, without good energy, kind of like, what do you have? Right?
Well, and it's impossible to have any patience for your family. It's almost also impossible to even make any improvements in your life because you're sitting there going, well, sure, I'll make improvements after I don't feel like screaming from not sleeping and being so exhausted.
Yeah, being a mom with low energy is a recipe for disaster.
Exactly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think that about covers it, and I know you're going to make that energy bundle available, right? So, I mean, my advice to everybody is take that quiz, keep the answers somewhere, go on the program, really, and go on the program. Do the recommendations, the five keys we've recommended. Get the energy bundle, use it, and then, like, regroup in a week and let us know. We want to hear.
Absolutely. That was great. Thanks. Okay,
cool.
we'll be in tune with the stress call next, because I know everybody after hearing this, because
yes.
wait, I don't
more
have any
come.
Energy, and I'm stressed out.
And we have to do the sleep, too. So sleep and stress
right.
are
okay.
coming. Stay tuned for those.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.